Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The State Affairs Committee will now come to order. Rose, will you be so kind as to call our roll?
Chair Masullo.
Here.
Representatives Altman, Bartleman.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Here.
Chambliss. Cheney.
Here.
Drake. Fisher.
Present.
Jill Lombardo.
Here.
Goff Marcil.
Here.
Henson.
Here.
Joseph. Mooney.
Here.
Overdorff.
Yes, ma'am.
Payne.
Here.
Rodriguez. Roth. C. Smith. D. Smith.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Toledo. Woodson.
Here.
Zika.
Present.
Rayner.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, in accordance with the Rule 7.7, Representative Rayner has been appointed to serve as ex officio voting member on this committee. And also, Representative Roth and C. Smith are excused. Representative Rayner, thank you, and welcome to the committee. Rosa, thank you for the role. Members and guests, please be sure to silence all your electronic devices. If you wish to speak, please fill out an appearance card and give it to one of the staff. Today, we have several wonderful bills that will help improve our state, and I think as we work through our deliberations, we need to keep that in mind. We often lose track of how much work we actually have to accomplish here in the House. But this morning, on Thursday, we're going to make a good effort at it. First up will be HB 7007 by Rep. Federhoff, OGSR, Non-Viable Birth Certificates, Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you so much. House Bill 7007, Non-Viable Birth Certificate. The bill saves from repeal the public record exemption for certain information that may be collected by the Department of Health when issuing a non-viable birth certificate. And that's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Any questions, members? Seeing none, do we have any public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. Any debate on Representative Federhoff's bill? Seeing none, Representative Federhoff, you're welcome to close on your bill.
Wave closed, Mr. Chair.
Having waved closed, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman. Bartleman.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Chambliss. Cheney.
Yes.
Drake.
Yes.
Fisher.
Yes.
Jill Lombardo.
Yes.
Goff Marcil.
Yes.
Henson.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Overdorff.
Yes, ma'am.
Payne.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Roth. C. Smith. D. Smith.
Yes.
Stevenson.
Yes.
Toledo.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Zika.
Yes.
Rayner.
Yes.
Chair Masullo.
Yes.
Yes, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, we'll show that bill reported favorably. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Committee.
Next up, we have HB 457 by Rep. Trabalski, St. Lucie County. Rep. Trabalski, you are recognized. Explain your bill.
Good morning, Chair Masullo, Vice Chair Payne, and members. House Bill 457 is a local bill seeking approval of public land conveyance from the Florida Board of Trustees of the Internal Improvement Trust Fund to the Indian River State College District Board of Trustees. Until 2012, Indian River State College and Florida Atlantic University shared a unique joint-use campus. FAU ceased operations in 2012, and IRSC worked with State of Florida to maintain use of the facilities and property. The IRSC District Board of Trustees, a body, corporate and governing body of college, owns and maintains all of their property on the college's five physical campuses. This bill would effectively transfer the property from the state of Florida to a political subdivision of the state of Florida governed by Florida statutes. This would be consistent with all other state college lands in Florida. And that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Questions on the bill? All right, seeing none, do we have any public testimony? Seeing none, members, we're in debate. And seeing no debate, Rep. Trabalski, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waved close, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman.
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cheney?
Yes.
Drake? Fisher?
Yes.
DeLombardo? Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Joseph? Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Haynes? Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo? Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
28-0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 457 reported favorably.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Next up, we'll have HB 7011 by Rep. Barrero, OGSR Substance Abuse for Impaired Persons. Rep. Barrero, you're welcome to explain your bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Ranking Member, and members of the committee. This bill saves from exemption public records from the repeal, the public records exemptions for certain records related to the involuntary assessment, stabilization of substance abuse impaired persons, including petitions for involuntary assessment and stabilization, pleadings, court records, those related records, and other documents filed with the court. That is the bill.
Very good. Members, any questions? Seeing none. Any public testimony? None. We have no amendments. We're in debate. Seeing none. Rep. Barrero, you're recognized to close.
I will waive close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived close, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman? Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Yes.
DeLombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mooney? Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo? Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
28-0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 7011 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll have HB 317 by Rep. DeSigley, Substitution of Work Experiences for Post-Secondary Educational Requirements. Rep. DeSigley, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. If you all remember, last legislative session, we allowed vets who served a period of military service to use that military service in lieu of a college education. The bill passed through the Florida Legislature, signed into law by the governor. My good friend, Representative Buchanan, and I were co-sponsors on that bill. Great piece of legislation. This bill does essentially the same exact thing, except it's not just for veterans. It's for all Floridians looking to apply to work either at state government, municipal, or local government. So, Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Very good. Thank you, Rep. DeSigley. Members, any questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? All right, seeing none. I believe you have an amendment. You're recognized to explain Amendment Barcode 795389.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment removes the word city within the definition, but maintains municipality. And, you know, if there's any questions, I'm happy to go deeper into that, but it was basically just a kind of a technical amendment, if you will. That is the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Members, any questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, I believe we have some public testimony. Carol Bowman, Association of Builders. All right, I'm sorry. This might be on the bill.
That is the bill.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My apologies. All right. Any debate? Debate on the amendment? You're recognized to close on your amendment?
Waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Having waived close, we'll show that amendment adopted without objection. Now we're back on the bill as amended. And Carol Bowman, Association of Builders and Contractors.
Mr. Chair, waiving support on the amended bill. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. David Sturz? Sturz, I might have pronounced that wrong. Foundation for Florida's Future?
Waiving support.
Waiving in support. Thank you very much. All right, that ends public testimony. We are in debate. Debate on the bill as amended. Any debate? Rep. Buchanan, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. DeSigley, it was a pleasure working with you last year on the Veterans Bill. Received incredible feedback in my district as it relates to that, and I applaud you for what, you know, you're working on this session and expanding that further, and I'll look forward to supporting it today.
Thanks, man.
Further debate? Rep. DeSigley, I have to also compliment you. We need to increase our workforce, and any means that we can use to be able to empower and enable those individuals that have served us in the past, I would applaud. And so I ask this whole committee to support you unanimously. And with that, Rosa, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, thank you, members, for the great feedback. This is a great bill. Creates opportunity for Floridians. I think that's important for all of us and our constituents. And I respectfully ask for your favorable support on this good bill. With that, I close, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Having closed on this bill, Rosa, now you can call the vote.
Representatives Altman. Bartleman.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Chambliss. Cheney.
Yes.
Drake. Fisher.
Yes.
Jill Lombardo.
Yes.
Dolph Marcille.
Yes.
Henson.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Overdorff.
Yes, ma'am.
Payne.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Roth. C. Smith. D. Smith.
Yes.
Stevenson.
Yes.
Toledo.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Zika.
Yes.
Rayner.
Yes.
Chair Masullo.
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, will show HB 317 reported favorably. Rep. DeSigley, congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
You're welcome. Next up, we'll have HB 465 by Rep. Soroy and Gregory, United States Armed Forces. Rep. Soroy, you're recognized. Explain your vote.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, colleagues. House Bill 465 adds references to our newest military branch, United States Space Force, to Florida statutes. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Having explained his bill, members, any questions? Questions on his bill? Seeing none, we have no amendments. Do we have public testimony? Mark Oglesby, Florida Department of Military Affairs. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you. Members, we're in debate. Any debate? Last call. Oh, Rep. Cheney, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Soroy, this is a good bill, and I'm going to support it. I just feel compelled to make a statement that I would like to see that this bill had repealed removing cigarette taxes from all of our military. I see that we now are including our SpaceX employees, and understand that's fair. And like I said, I'm up on this bill, but with all of the recognized health problems of cigarettes, I would like to discourage it, not encourage it, by reducing the cost with taxes. So if you want to consider that moving forward, it'd be wonderful. But I'm up on your bill. Thank you.
Rep. Toledo, did you have debate? All right. Further debate? Anyone? You're recognized to close, Rep. Soroy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Cheney, I appreciate your comments, and would certainly be interested in working on that with you in a future session. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Having closed on this bill, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman, Bartleman.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Chambliss. Cheney.
Yes.
Drake. Fisher.
Yes.
Jill Lombardo.
Yes.
Dolph Marcille.
Yes.
Henson.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Overdorff.
Yes, ma'am.
Payne.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Roth. C. Smith. D. Smith.
Yes.
Stevenson.
Yes.
Toledo. Woodson.
Yes.
Zika.
Yes.
Rayner.
Yes.
Chair Masullo.
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 465 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Soroy. Staying with the military theme, we'll go with HM 505 by Rep. Daly, Florida National Guards. Rep. Daly, please explain your memorial.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Memorial 505 asks Congress to increase our Florida National Guard force structure allocation. In just the past year and a half, due to COVID-19, the Florida National Guard has expended the same number of work days within the past 18 months as it has within the past 20 years. Florida National Guard has been meeting its mission goals with just over 12,000 troops. However, this has meant several activations for the same soldiers again and again, ultimately leading to fatigue, retention, and readiness issues. Even though Florida is the third most populous state, we rank 53rd out of the 54 states and territories with a National Guard component. Florida has roughly 22 million residents and 12,000 guardsmen. In contrast, the state of Alabama has 12,000 guardsmen and 5 million residents. Floridians have depended heavily on the brave volunteers of our National Guard over the years, and we owe them a great debt of gratitude. We call on these men and women when disaster strikes, and now they need our help. And that is the House Memorial, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Any questions on the memorial, members? Questions? All right, seeing none, there are no amendments. We have public testimony again for Mark Oglesby, Florida Department of Military Affairs. Thank you very much, Mr. Oglesby. Members, we are in debate. Debate on the memorial. Any debate? Rep. Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep., for bringing this good bill, and it's a pleasure for me to have been able to co-sponsor and work with you early to gain traction for this. And I can just tell you and make sure our colleagues know, if we can get the federal government to listen and right-size Florida's National Guard, that is going to save lives here in Florida. We all know we're a magnet for hurricanes. And when you can have a guard that can get to people more quickly because we have the numbers, it's going to make a difference in Florida. And I think this is the right thing for Florida, and it's going to save lives. And thank you for bringing this good bill forward.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Rep. Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Daly, for bringing this memorial forward. In the state of Florida, the National Guard has always come forward for us. We experienced this during COVID, and I have seen how much they have put in when they had to set up those different sites. I've worked with a lot of them, and not just COVID, but every disaster or everything that we have experienced in the state of Florida. So I appreciate you bringing this forward, and I know that the federal government needs to do what's right by adding the numbers that we are requesting. So thank you so much for this memorial.
Rep. Stevenson in debate.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Masullo. I appreciate this bill. It's definitely needed. I've been hearing about it for years. And when we have a lot of events, the men and women and families are fatigued. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you bringing this. I had no idea we were so understaffed. My father was a guard and in North Carolina and in Florida, and I know how much it meant to him to serve the community. And it's great to have them there, but we shouldn't wear them out so much. We should have enough manpower for them. So I appreciate you bringing this bill. St. Augustine has the headquarters for the National Guard in Florida. I'm really proud to have them there and proud of the work they do. Thank you.
Thank you. Rep. Chambliss, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, thank you for this great bill. I really appreciate your efforts and your leadership on this issue. Having met with some representatives from the Guard, I definitely understand the need for this. And also being in the southern tip of Florida, I want to echo some of the sentiments of my colleagues of the importance of having the capacity to handle our natural disasters. And the truth is we have thanked a lot of our first responders for their work that was done during COVID. But we gotta remember that the Guard was a part of that piece, a huge part of that piece. And many times when they're stretched with emergencies here in the state, and also supporting the federal troops, I think that we really have to make sure that they have the numbers, the support, and the capacity to meet those demands. So again, thank you for this bill.
Thanks, sir. Very good. Vice Chair Payne, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Rev. Daly, you came to my district this past year, and we visited in Camp Blanding. We had a great time with the TAG, had a good lunch with them, and visited with our Guard members, actually took a helicopter ride. So. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for your advocacy for this. As a son of a D-Day lander, 40-year military member, and members that still work for the Guard, appreciate you bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, sir.
Further debate? Rep. Daly, it seems like you have really strong bipartisan support for your memorial. You're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I just want to thank everyone, right? This is a no-brainer issue, bipartisan. You guys have all been terrific. Even with the letter we sent to the Secretary of Defense already, that had 70 signatures for this body. That says something. And so I'm hoping we can move this mountain and we'll do it together. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Having closed on his memorial, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Wright?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Golf Marcel?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Hain?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
21 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, we'll show Memorial HM 505 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Daly. Next up, we'll have HB 7009 by Representative Schoaf, OGSR for Health and Information, Department of Corrections. You are recognized, Rep. Schoaf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. PCB 2205 saves from repeal the public records exemption for the protected health information of an inmate or offender held by the Department of Corrections, and that is the bill.
Very good. Having explained his bill, members, any questions? Seeing none, we have no amendments, no public testimony. We are in debate. Any debate? Seeing none, Rep. Schoaf, you recognize the close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Rosa, please call the vote. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have someone for public testimony. Steve Vaughn, Florida Department of Corrections. All right, waves and support. Thank you very much. Now you recognize close.
Wave close.
Having waived closed, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Golf Marcel?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Hain?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo? Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
22 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. By your vote, members will show HB 7009 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Schoaf. Next up, we'll have HB 7013 by Rep. Fabricio, OGSR, Workman's Compensation, Department of Financial Services. You are recognized, Rep. Fabricio.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, committee. Members, HB 7013 saves from repeal a public records exemption for the personal identifying information of an injured or deceased employee contained in records submitted to and held by the Department of Financial Services pursuant to the workers' compensation law. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Seeing none, no amendments. We do have public testimony. Adam Brashford. Are you over there? Waves and support. Thank you very much. That ends public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Any debate? Seeing none, Rep. Fabricio, you recognize the close.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Jill Lombardo?
Yes.
Golf Marcel?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo? Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
22 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 7013 reported favorably. Rep. Fabricio, congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee.
Thank you. Next up, we'll have HB 7005 by Reps. Rizzo and Rep. Fisher, I believe, is going to be explaining that bill. OGSR information related to medical use of marijuana for the Department of Health. Chair Fisher, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. House Bill 7005 saves from repeal the public records exemption for certain information held by the Department of Health concerning patients, caregivers, and physicians relating to the medical marijuana use registry. That is the bill.
Thank you. Any questions for Chair Fisher? All right, seeing none, do we have any public testimony? Melissa Villar, Norman L. Tallahassee, Executive Director. You're recognized, ma'am. Is your microphone on, ma'am? Excuse me. All right. Okay.
Hello? Okay, there we go. All right. Yay. Okay, good morning, everyone. So medical marijuana is a very important issue to many in this state, and the use of the medical marijuana use registry by law enforcement is the issue that I'm bringing forth today. You know, we most certainly need a public records exemption for patients. However, the medical marijuana use registry, what the officers have access to is a patient's recertification, whether or not they've been able to recertify, their card renewal. And these are the hurdles that patients are having to deal with, are the cost hurdles. So when someone is stopped at a traffic stop or you know, they have some other investigation going on, they could potentially end up in the criminal justice system with notices to appear, with an arrest based on the medical use registry. So if they have not been able to access a doctor, and that's why we support telehealth, if they have not been able to pay, our secretary likes to give the number of $375. That's the number for a physician certification, and then the $75 for the annual renewal of the card. So if you are a patient and have a supply of your medical marijuana on you, and your certification or your card renewal has expired, then you are potentially mixed up, entangled in the criminal justice system. So that's why we are pushing for telehealth, for physician certification, annual renewals, and ID card renewals of 2 years. It's very important for the 600,000 plus patients in Florida to not be treated as criminals. And again, we just feel that the medical marijuana use registry has that law enforcement has maybe potentially overstepped their boundary with the use of it compared to the prescription drug monitoring program. And we just wanted to bring that forward because we know we had many, many issues throughout the state, particularly in the inception of the program. And so we just want to make sure that we allow the program to become patient friendly and help with patient access. So we thank you today, and thank you for hearing this bill today.
Thank you, ma'am. Members, we're in debate. Seeing none, I'm sorry. Reb Henson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just merely want to say that the concern that was just brought forward only clarifies how much we need to legalize and decriminalize marijuana use. I just wanted to say that for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Henson. Any further debate, members? Seeing none, Chair Fisher, you recognize the close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have waived close, but just to clarify before the vote comes up, this is just a bill that saves from repeal the public records exemptions for certain information regarding patients, caregivers, and physicians related to the registry. It's not a policy-related bill. It is a public records exemption bill.
Thank you, Chair Fisher, for that clarification. Members, We are now finished with our everything on that particular bill. So, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Drake? Fisher?
Yes.
Di Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
22 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, will show HB 7005 reported favorably. Congratulations, Chair Fisher. Members, we have one other bill before our committee. However, the member is currently presenting in another committee. So we'll take an informal recess for a few minutes. Please stay around the room. There is a lounge, as you know, on the right. And we will convene as soon as that member is in attendance. We are in recess. Is here. We are now back in session. And Rosa, will you please call the roll?
Chair Masullo?
Here.
Representatives Altman?
Here.
Bartleman?
Here.
Buchanan? Chambliss?
Here.
Cheney?
Here.
Drake?
Right here.
Fisher?
Present.
Di Lombardo?
Here.
Goff Marcil?
Here.
Henson? Joseph?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Overdorf? Payne?
Here.
Rodriguez?
Present.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Here.
Stevenson?
Here.
Toledo?
Here.
Woodson?
Here.
Zika?
Present.
Rayner?
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Rosa. Members, please recognize Rep. Gregory for HB 1295. Rep. Gregory, would you like a bottle of water after your trip from the other side?
No, thank you, Chair. I appreciate it.
All right. You're recognized. Explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members, for your patience. Members, this bill is very similar, but not identical to a bill we heard last year. But again, it is about clarifying and streamlining executive appointments and realigning Florida statutes to reflect the consolidated cabinet that we have today and to keep executive branch secretaries under the supervision of the governor. I do want to highlight really the three things that it does and the four areas it's impacting. First, it requires executive directors of the Division of Law Enforcement and Veteran Affairs to be appointed by a majority of the governor and the cabinet instead of unanimous consent. And if you're on this committee last year, you may recall that in Florida's history, we used to have six cabinet members. So throughout areas of Florida law, the law reads, with the concurrence of three members of the cabinet and the governor, you have a majority and that person would be confirmed, so to speak, by the cabinet. But now we only have three members of the cabinet, so if you require all three, it requires unanimous consent. So really, this part of the bill just acknowledges that the cabinet today has been streamlined and consolidated. The second thing the bill does is makes the head of the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles a secretary appointed by the governor and clarifies that an executive agency does not need cabinet concurrence by removing such need for the Department of Environmental Protection secretary. The secretary will still be appointed by the governor, and of course, they will still have to be confirmed by the Senate. That is the bill.
Very good. Having explained his bill, members, questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Rep. Joseph, you have a question? You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the change of the number of cabinet members took place in 1998 from six to three. Is that, are you aware if that's correct or not?
You're recognized, Gregory.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if it was that specific year, but it wasn't last year.
Okay. So assuming, unless you have any information to the contrary, it was 1998. From 1998 all the way to 2016, we haven't had any issues. Last year was for the first time we started doing some of this, you know, some people like to call it a power grab, whatever you want to call it, like reallocation of who does what. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is if what you're saying, what you just said about not requiring the unanimity was because of a majority vote, there had not been any issues until 2016 or last year. And the only practical thing that I can think of that was a difference is we have a democratically elected commissioner of agriculture, which may not always agree with the governor. Now, to the extent that my understanding is incorrect, I'd like you to kind of, I guess, address it, because my primary concern is because in the Constitution...
You're getting to a question, right?
I am getting to a question. I'm trying to understand, like, what's going on. And the impetus for the bill, because I'm looking at the Constitution, and you made reference to it a moment ago in Section 6 about the unanimous requirement. So if you're saying that it was because of majority, why the change now is really my question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is a great question. Why the change now? Why not the change 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever year it came into be that we have the problem that we have by consolidating the cabinet? And I think the answer illustrates exactly the problem with having a government that's too big. Government is inefficient. On its face, government is typically inefficient, which is why I'm always a proponent of small, limited government. This is not the first time we've had an issue. This is not even a question of an issue. Really, what I wish we could do, and of course we can't, is bring in props, right? So what I would have brought in to illustrate the point to you when I say this is not the first time we've had an issue is an organizational chart. But you can look it up. Look up an organizational chart that shows the executive branch, legislative branch, and the judicial branch in Florida. And what you will see is an executive branch that is mired in inefficiency. You have, for example, since you bring up DEP, DEP, an executive level agency, not a cabinet function. On its face, an executive agency should not require cabinet-level review at all. It should require, since an executive agency, appointment by the government or by the governor and consent of the Senate.
Rep. Rayner, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Rep. Gregory, thank you for being here. And as you well know, I'm kind of sensitive to this issue, being that my uncle was a secretary for the Department of Corrections. So I always find this issue to be interesting. And I want to kind of level set my question is that we have a cabinet of three members and the governor, and having they have to have a consensus to appoint agency heads. And it seems that, you know, for the most part, it's kind of been moving smoothly. Why would we as a legislature want to change an appropriate balance of power?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Rayner, for the question. And again, I think both of these questions are going to the same point, and really it is a question of what is this person's role that we're talking about? We're talking about the Department of Environmental Protection right now, and again, on an organizational chart, and the way that our government works in Florida, the way the laws specify that it will work, is that DEP is an executive agency, not a cabinet-level function. This has nothing to do with the balance of power, nothing to do with who's currently in the roles. It doesn't make sense for the governor to go through the cabinet to appoint somebody to an executive agency. If we're talking about a cabinet-level function, then we're talking about a different analysis. But for this particular role, this is the proper method that it should have always been in place. But now we're correcting it.
Rep. Bartleman, for a question. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. If it doesn't make sense to go through the cabinet,
wouldn't that be the same argument for the Senate? Because if your logic is that it's his purview, and but you still have to go through the Senate because that's in the Constitution, and this is in the Constitution, so what's the difference?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the good question. Well, the difference is that that is the more typical role for the Senate, right, to review and consent to appointments that are made by the governor, whether you're talking about an executive agency or a cabinet function. But again, really, there are many, many more things that are not in this bill that we could and should do and could and should consider in the legislature amending to make it so that our governor, whoever that governor may be now or in the future, can more efficiently do their job. You know, frankly, I would like to see this bill be 50 or 60 pages long and see some not just streamlining and more efficient use of appointments and reviews and consents, but I think that there are some agencies that we should consider eliminating. But I'll save that for another day.
Further questions? Rep. Joseph, you had a follow-up? You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, I did. So looking back specifically at the text of the Constitution, in Section 6, subsection A, it talks about how you can get these agency heads approved. So when provided by law, confirmation by the Senate or the approval of 3 members of the cabinet shall be required to, or removal for any designated statutory office. You know, just in terms of textual analysis with whether it's legislation or the Constitution, it would seem that your bill effectively changes the Constitution. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is in terms of the strength of the documents, the Constitution will be stronger than any legislation that we pass on its own. So wouldn't it first require that we change the Florida Constitution to enable your bill to be able to be considered? Because effectively what you're doing is changing the Constitution. That's the question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Joseph, for reading that section of the Constitution. That perfectly illustrates the point. The Constitution, of course, predates the Florida statute and specifies that it's by law and requires the consent of 3 members of the cabinet. When, again, at the time the Constitution was written, there were 6 members of the cabinet. I think it proves the point perfectly that at the time the Constitution was adopted and the time these laws were enacted, was never a unanimous consent of the cabinet. It was half, literally half the members of the Florida cabinet, plus the governor, which gave you a simple majority.
Follow-up?
You're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand that that's your position, but functionally that's not, that it doesn't change the inquiry about the Constitution being changed by your legislation. I understand that you're saying that functionally there was a majority before, and that's the point, but it's not about first in time when it comes to legislation versus Constitution. The Constitution trumps. So I guess just asking the question a different way, how do you overcome the constitutional hurdle that your bill functionally trumps the Constitution, the Florida Constitution?
Rep. Joseph, I believe that was asked and answered, but you can answer it again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question. Yeah, I think, again, just reading the text of the Constitution as you did, it's not overriding the Constitution. It's doing exactly what the Constitution directs us to do. It's either by law or 3 members of the cabinet.
Further questions? All right, seeing none, we do have an amendment. It's Rep. Gregory, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 638037.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, amendment barcode 638037 is really just a conforming amendment. It changes references to the executive director of the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles to secretary. That is the amendment.
Very good. Members, questions on the amendment? On the amendment. Questions? Seeing none, do we have any public testimony on the amendment? None on the amendment. We're on debate on the amendment. Debate. Seeing none, you recognize a close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, all in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We'll show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amendment. Do we have public testimony? All right. Karen Woodall, Earth Justice. All right, she waves in opposition. Carlos Nathan, Department of Ag and Consumer Services, waves in opposition. That ends public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill as amended. Debate. Rep. Stevenson in debate. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Gregory, for this bill. The Constitution was changed in 1998 to reduce the number of cabinet members, but it wasn't implemented till 2003. And I was involved in local politics at the time, and I know there was a lot of political tension because two of the cabinet members were going to run for governor. I do think there's some cleanup that needs to be done in these statutes, and there has to be an ability for the governor to carry out his executive function. So I really very much appreciate you bringing this bill, and I wanted to bring some clarity to the implementation date, because I know that when we actually went from 6 to 3 was in 2003. So we've been living with it for, you know, a number of years. But it doesn't mean that it was perfect when we started. Thank you.
Very good. Rep. Rayner, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Rep. Gregory, you know we are friends, but I am going to have to be down on this bill today. I think it's just really about the timing of this. I think that we've seen publicly the governor kind of have a really just a fight with another cabinet member who is of the other party. And it's just, to me, it seems that the timing of this bill is ill-timed, and it, to me, seems that it's a power grab. And I also am concerned about the lack of transparency that it would provide for the people. And I'm not saying that this is something that you're doing, but I do know that this is something the governor is interested in. And so it makes me a little concerned, and it gives me pause to be able to be up on this bill today. I think that, you know, maybe this is something that we do need to address. I don't know, but I haven't really seen the problem until we have cabinet members who are of opposite parties, and then it becomes this issue, and maybe that is to your point. I just think the timing of it right now gives me pause, and I would have to be down on the bill today.
Further debate. Rep. Joseph, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I appreciate Representative Stevenson weighing in on the question of 6 to 3. That's fine, as it pertains to Section 6 of Article 4 of the Constitution. However, that has no bearing on Article 4, Section 4G of the Constitution, which specifically says, in the context of the Department of Law Enforcement, which is also addressed in this bill, is the governor as chair, the chief financial officer, the attorney general, and the commissioner of agriculture shall constitute the agency head of the Department of Law Enforcement. That's another provision of the Constitution that this bill effectively just obliterates. And I just don't understand, from a legal perspective, how you can do that. So even notwithstanding the 6th majority, that doesn't apply to that section of the Constitution. So to the extent that you want to address that in your closing, that would be helpful. But right now, this bill just seems unconstitutional according to the state of Florida's Constitution. So thank you.
Rep. Galt Michelle, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. I was down on this bill the last time it came up, and I'm gonna have to be down again. My big concern is the balance of power. I do understand there can be streamlining and trying to make government more efficient, and I am for that. But this, to me, just looks like making balance of power uneven, and it's worth having government in place to keep that balance. And
So I'm going to be down on this. Thank you.
Rep. Hinson, you're recognized in debate.
But thank you for being brave enough to present this today. The system in place for agency head appointments worked very well from 1998 until now. The balance of power had, up until very recently, assured that agency appointments had cabinet member consensus. This bill only became a sudden need when the last gubernatorial election also resulted in a cabinet that had one member of the opposite party. So the intent of this bill is uniquely transparent. Rather than work with members of the cabinet to achieve a consensus in state agency leadership, this bill is a further deepening of partisan divides at a time where we are trying to work on unifying. And we put a lot of effort in that, you as well. It is the lazy way out of achieving true balanced supervision of our state agencies. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Rep. Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good seeing you, Rep. Gregory. It's always a pleasure seeing you. And I have to say that whether it was a Democratic governor or a Republican governor, I would echo the same sentiment that I'm about, you know, I would say the same thing that I'm about to say. I have seen how much putting so much power into one hand in my own country, how much that has impacted people. I have seen it here in county government where I work as well. And I'm not talking about the current governor or whoever would be the governor. It will be the same thing, to put so much power into one hand. We need to really look at things in a way where others can have a say to it. Not that you would listen to everyone, but at least to be involved in the democratic process that we are, you know, trying to have in our state. So I know you are presenting the bill, and I've worked with you before on bills that I can work with. Believe me, that has hurt me personally in my own country. This is how I ended up coming here, and also over here in county government, as I mentioned. So I would not be able to support you on this bill. I would work with you on other bills whenever I can, but this one, I'm going to be down on it. Thank you.
Vice Chair Payne, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Representative Gregory. You know, regardless of the subjective comments of members of the other caucus, I would just say that I think you hit on a key point. Government is often very inefficient. And sometimes it takes us a while to get policy up to where it should be with regard to things that have occurred throughout the state. In any organization, or any business, there's always review of organizational charts. And those are for efficiency, to put people in the right place to accomplish goals. The governor is the supreme executive power, and it shall be invested in the governor. He or she is administrative office chief of the state. And he has every right to make the right decisions that fall under his administrative lead. Lastly, I would add, it's still confirmed by the Senate. So thank you for this bill. I'll be in full support.
Further debate? Any further debate? Members, we tend to live in the moment. And in that moment, we see things through the lens of our own eyes and the people that we know, and our personalities. We can't help that because we're human. But our duty here is to plan for the future of our state, regardless of the personalities, regardless of who's in office at the time. I think Rep. Gregory's bill makes the office of our governor and the executive more efficient, and it isn't too dissimilar to the way things are done in our federal government. So with that, I would ask for your favorable support on this bill, and Rep. Gregory, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. And I'm so glad that you closed with that point. And I wanted to go back to Representative Stevenson's point about how she was involved at the local level and saw at a time when these changes were implemented that you had members of cabinet running for governor. And I think it's important for us to think about these things. As you said, it's not about this moment. There is always a member of cabinet running for governor. Sometimes there are two or three members of the cabinet running for governor. This bill is not about that. But it may illustrate, for example, why this bill hasn't been passed 15 years ago, why it wasn't passed 10 years ago, because there are politics behind the scene. And when you inject politics into administrative bureaucracy, it makes government inefficient. This bill should have been done 20 years ago. It should definitely be done now. And I would ask the members of the committee to think about the chair's comments and think about how the cabinet will be structured 4 years into the future, 8 years into the future, 12 years into the future. And start with this, again, DEP is not a cabinet function. Just look at the org chart for the executive branch of the state of Florida. DEP is a secretarial position of an executive agency. And I'd ask you to really think about that. And I have to say, I enjoy the constitutional discussion and debate with Representative Joseph and Representative Rayner and all of you, and I look forward to continuing those conversations afterwards as we hopefully move forward on this bill. I really do, and I want to sit down with the Constitution and you and the org chart, and let's talk this through. Hopefully, I can persuade you to see that in the long term, it's not about this moment. It is about how to make government more efficient in the state of Florida, and I ask for your favorable support.
Having closed on this bill, Rosa, please call the vote.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
No.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss?
No.
Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Ralph Marcille?
No.
Henson?
No.
Joseph?
No.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Hayne?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roth? C. Smith? D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
No.
Zika? Rayner?
No.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
Yeas, 5 nays.
Members, by your vote, will show HB 1295 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Gregory. Members, this ends our business before our committee today. I hope you all have a safe weekend, safe travels back home. Look forward to seeing you all next week. And with that, Rep. Rayner, move we rise, and we are adjourned without objection.